Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm walking down
everybody. This is Liquid Damage at the Liquid Damage Lounge, welcoming all to have a good night tonight. I want to welcome you to the Team of Voices Radio. Our group is filled with love and respect. We are sponsored by the A.P. Taylor Foundation. Thank you, A.P. We are also happy to see you here. We are poets from all over the globe and offer a variety of programming for your entertainment. We offer an open mic so you can share your voice with us. There is something different going on with us every single night of the week. You never know what we might have up our sleeves. So come on in and join us. Tonight we have so far, we have AP, Carmine, Hatter, and me. And we have a bunch of stupid jokes, I hear. And Carmine, you got a joke for us?
Oh, do I have a joke for you, my dear? I tell you what, my doctor told me, I went to see the doctor, you know, I was really not feeling well. So my doctor told me that jogging could add years to my life. Well, I think he was right because I feel 10 years older already.
Very cute.
Poor Carmine.
Well, while we don't have a lot of people here, I have one. It's on the line of PG-13 and R, but I asked my husband why he married me. He said, because I'm funny. I said, I thought it was because I was good in bed. He said, see, you're hilarious.
Ah.
So happy Friday, everybody. End of the week. Everybody's off work, or hopefully. How's everybody doing?
Major, I'm doing fine. Just doing fine.
I'm glad to hear that, Carmine.
For more, and I'm just wonderfully blessed.
Right on. Hatter, how are you doing?
Why did the golfer take two pairs of pants?
Oh, I know this one. I don't know. Why did he take two pair of pants?
In case he got a hole in one.
That's what it is. Let me see what I got. What are sharks' two most favorite words?
Sharks?
Mm-hmm.
Two most favorite words.
Favorite words.
I don't know.
Man overboard.
That's a good one.
I got some good ones tonight. Knock, knock.
Hey, what is that? Knock, who's there?
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
You're up.
You're up who? You're a poo.
No, you're a poo. Sorry, Hatter. I had to do that one.
Why did seagulls
fly
over the sea?
What?
Why did seagulls fly over the sea?
Because it's safer than the land. I don't know. Why didn't seagulls fly over the sea?
Well, if they flew over the bay, they'd be bagels.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay, here's the one. Why did chicken coops have two doors? Okay, wait. Why did chicken coops have two doors?
Chicken coops.
No, I don't know.
Chicken can cross the road.
Close. You ready?
Yeah,
I'm ready.
Because if they had four doors, they'd be called a chicken sedan.
Oh.
Okay, Carmine, you go.
Well, you know, at a party, this young wife grabbed her husband's arm and she says to him, you know, dear, that's the fourth time you've gone back for ice cream and cake. Now, wait a minute, doesn't that embarrass you? And then her husband smiles and he says to me, why should it? I keep telling them that it's for you.
That was one of my jokes for tonight. funny stuff. Well...
One more. What's the difference between the bird flu? What's the difference between the bird flu and the swine flu?
A bird flu and a swine flu. No, you've got me there.
One requires treatment and the other an ointment.
Oh.
That's cute.
Oh, yes, right.
I like that. Okay, we don't have that many sound. We only got two sound clouds, but we got a lot of need readers. Should we get started with a need reader?
Sure.
Probably. Yeah.
Where is my? Oh, there we go. Let's see. Lawrence 67 needs a reader, and I was thinking maybe AP could do that.
Yeah. No problem.
Yeah. And
yep.
You might need help from Patter.
Background. If you look on the wall, Linda, that's what I'm doing at the minute. I'm just doing a little painting in the background. So.
Looks good, AP. I like the violet and the blue and the brown. Brown needs to be a little light.
Looks okay.
Okay, what's going on with my...
Just, did you want me to grab the palm and put it up on the board, Linda, or...?
Sure. Why don't you grab Lawrence 67 and we'll knock him out.
Yep.
It's
yep,
kind of
yep,
cute.
Yep. Okay.
Except
well, this
for
is
some reason.
So, let me go and grab that for you. If my computer will play ball with me, which is always fun with technology. You sort of sit here and you think you're sort of sweet and everything's
oh,
right.
There we
and
go.
Then it sort of just drops on you. Anyway.
Ooh, how pretty. That's really nice, AP.
You like that one? Yeah.
I love that one. It's all butterflies.
It is. It's all butterflies. That's exactly right. Yes.
That's
it's all butterflies.
Awesome. At first
Lots
glance, it looked like water coming down out of the tree, but it's pretty blue and purple butterflies.
It's all butterflies.
Excellent.
Yes.
Very
a
nice.
Mile of butterflies. More butterflies than you can poke a stick at. Anyway, I think
a
there's about 300 of them. I haven't counted them. So, anyway, I've just put Lawrence 67's palm on the board, Linda, while we've been doing that.
Okay.
And this is Jerome the Pack Rat. And
who wants to play Hatter, you do Jerome, and AP, you do Nigel.
Okay. Cool.
Is that
you
okay, Hatter?
Yeah, I'll try. Hold
the
on.
The Jerome part.
Okay. Yeah. We can do that.
So go for it, AP.
Okay. So I'm going to do
I'll be the announcer.
Okay, you do the announcer. And what are you, Hatter? You're the Nigel part.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And I'm
Hatter
the Jerome.
Nigel,
is that going, Linda?
And, okay, that's great. That's perfect.
Okay.
So
how do you
this is
Nigel.
Jerome.
Here we go.
Okay.
This is Jerome the Pack Rat by Lawrence 67. Hit it, guys.
Caught you red-handed.
What are you talking about, bro?
Hey, homie, don't play games with us. I can see all those treasures under your jacket. You got the boss's glasses. You got the boss's glasses. My comb, are those Alfie's thongs?
No, all these goodies are mine. I'm moving. Yeah, that's it. I'm moving. And I was just taking a load to my new expensive apartment. Yeah, that's what I was doing.
You're lying, bro. And those are princess earrings and nipple rings.
No, they're my nipple rings. See, I'll put them on. Yeah, yeah.
Get him, Alfie, princess.
Oh, shit, yikes. Pack rat shuffle time. Got a skadoodle vroom. Help! End bomb.
Very cool. Lawrence, he's a funny guy. And... he sends me these cute little pieces, and I adore him for it. And this is awesomely cute. Never fail to impress me with your humor and wit. This was really well written, my darling, and I love how you form and interact with the new character. Very cool. And as one pack rat to another, I totally get Jerome. I love it when Jerome says, no, those are my nipple rings. See, I'll put them on. Yeah. Good stuff. Thanks, Lawrence, and thank you for sharing with us tonight. Always a pleasure. AP, what did you think?
Well, I really liked the conversational sort of interaction bit, Linda. I mean, us poets are not so good at dialogue, typically. because, you know, that's, we don't do it. But life goes well, and it feels like a real conversation, and it came out really nicely.
Right, right. Heather.
Yeah, we have those chats in our heads, don't we? All the time, those voices. I don't call them Alfie. It was different.
Yeah, right.
It was a performance piece. That's the next evolution of poetry is going to be a little more performances. We're getting there.
Right. No, you guys did a great job. Really great job. Carmine.
I was born to be.
That's a script. That's a very, it's a minor script, but you can see that even in some kind of a TV movie or something like that. And, of course, you know, when he takes things and he lies and he runs away when he feels that he's caught. And it's, you know, the conversation between two characters. And he's kind of clever there because that's how you would write dialogue. And he's got a situation here where dialogue turns into a poetic piece. And I don't know, I haven't seen anything like that in respect to poetry, but it's funny and it's clever. And he deserves a lot of credit, especially when he has two characters that are known. Good.
Right. Right. Yeah, he's good at writing dialogue. I need to get into doing that, writing dialogue with my kid poems.
A little soliloquy, a little soliloquy.
Yeah. Well, I try to do it by changing my voice for each character, but it would really be cool to have different people do them, you know? It just sounds so much more real.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So good job, Lawrence. And I guess we can go ahead and do Titus.
Yes.
You want to pull Titus, AP?
Yeah, I'd like to. I'm going to go find Mom.
Or whoever.
We can do that. So bear with me while I... Because he's got a SoundCloud, I think, doesn't he, Linda? He normally does.
Does what?
Does he have a SoundCloud for his poem?
Yeah, he does.
Okay.
I will grab the SoundCloud.
I've placed.
You got him up on
the
board, right?
Okay.
Yes. We go. Here we go. Oop.
A classic.
Come on. Oh, it stopped.
Oh, started again.
A classic love story. While the most memorable day is treasured, your acceptance years ago 'twas after then. 2 days you'll remember, both are measured. Between the first and last time my eyes open, and tales did reach the locations in your land. As the priceless leisures each did love survey, paradise, the pride of place, now hand in hand, will suggest the suitability of our souls at play. Your existence truly keeps me alive and well. I find you inherit the auspice of the occasion. My first being keen and yours my secret well, about whether or not it ought to be amazing. Distance between letting go or not has expired. A time it was needed to explore, to serve faith. Since God is born from you, it's most admired to feel his love through you to keep our faith.
Beautiful. This is a precious and enchanting love story, and well-chosen lines and words with the perfect touch of class. My favorite part is, since God is born from you, it's most admired to feel his love through you to keep ours safe. Both graceful and honest, you have a soft and passive imagery here that shows the power of love. This was so, so well written, Tony. I love the way you weave your lines together in such a tender and romantic way, creating from it a beautiful piece of art. Thank you, Tony, for sending your love our way tonight. It's beautiful. Carmine.
Well, I tell you, Tony's really a master at this. In fact, this classic love story is very classic. It reminds me of the Age of Romanticism when the theme of love was very dominant. It's very tender. It's very personal. It's got very intense feelings. Some of the lines that really struck you as truly was, your existence truly keeps me alive and well. That shows his love. And he says, the distance between letting go or not has passed. Well, it does need time to prove the love between two people. But one section where he says, since God born from you is most admired, he feels God's love through her. And he says, by doing that, it's in safekeeping. So the tenderness and the intensity of their love, even though time has sometimes separated them, it doesn't matter. It's a forever love. And as far as what Titus had mentioned, that's the kind of love that lasts. I mean, that's the kind of love that everyone's looking for.
Right on. Hatter. Off mute, Hatter.
Yeah, I was, my phone froze. I wasn't able to follow, but I've read enough of Tony to know how good he writes. I always say he classes up the place, and I'll read it here in a minute.
So my husband's outside mowing the lawn with the tractor mower. So if
yes.
You can hear that, let me know. Yeah, I will try to keep it muted. Let me see. Let me find the phone. Come on. So you might as well go ahead, AP. What did you think?
Well, I think this one, I mean, we always know that Titus has a wonderful command of the English language, and he always goes and sort of entrances us with how he uses the language. But this one's a little bit more than that, because it's such a beautiful, deep love poem. And there's something about writing about love and something about writing about that clearly and elegantly, and that's exactly what he does here. He just writes a beautiful love poem, and that's a thing to admire.
Right on, AP. Hatter, did you want to say something?
Where did Hatter go?
Oh, okay.
Here. No. I'm good.
Oh, there you go.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
He's good.
Trying to
okay.
Get my phone unfroze.
Okay. I'm trying to switch back and forth from mute to on because my husband is mowing.
I can't hear it.
I wonder if he knows I can. Oh, you can't hear it?
No,
oh,
I can't.
He just went around the side of the house now. You can't hear it?
No. Nope, didn't hear it before either.
Oh, okay.
You're good.
Well, that's cool. All I can hear is the mower. Let's see.
It's okay. We can't. It's okay. Promise.
Let's do LG Mace has a needs reader. I guess I'll read that.
Yep. And I'll put that up on the board for you, Linda.
Thank you, my darling.
So that is this one here. And it is coming up now.
Oh, I didn't see your Hatter. Okay, we'll do Hatter. Well, we'll do Hatter and then LG Mace.
Okay, cool.
Okay. Hatter, you ready, darling?
Okay. Yeah. It's been a year at Christmas time. It was like this. It's been a year at Christmas time, holding the memories when you were mine. I cannot believe that you are gone. 2 years now. It's way too long. Clouds remain each time I do. It always rains when I think of you. I saw your face at some other place. Let me steal my one last kiss. I cannot believe you walked out on me, and it goes a little like this. Time runs together, depending on whether you never tried to find me. It's now been 5, and I'm still alive, watching my front door. I cry in the rain, so I don't feel the pain. You don't love me anymore. It's quick to 6, and then to 7. There's the brokenhearted go to heaven. I hear the past coming in last. I can't hear your voice. What I hate, it's now been 8. I do not have a choice. I count now 10, and that is how long it's been since someone called me dear. I don't know if I care. It's my cross to bear. The wind whispers it in my ear. I think it's changed. I don't feel the rain, keeping me cold and afraid. If I had a wish, it would go like this. I wish that you had stayed. Broken and shattered, it doesn't really matter. Let it now be clear. If I die alone, put on my stone, this was my greatest of fears.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, Hatter, that just tugged my heart really well. You just have a way of writing these poems of sorrow that just grab your heart and squeeze it. Beautiful, beautiful poem. I think my favorite part is absolutely the last verse. Broken and shattered, it doesn't really matter. Let it now be clear. If I die alone, put on my stone. This was my greatest of fears. What a sad, sad imagery that gives. But, you know, you have a way of writing these, especially these couplets that are just so strong and in a way romantic, you know. It's kind of like a romantic tragedy, a Romeo and Juliet, but it's wonderful. I really like this piece, Hatter. Very, very well written. Thank you, my darling, for sharing this with us tonight. It was really cool. Let's see. AP, what did you think?
I thought it was a really effective piece of writing, and I think because it had the rhyme back, but it also used the count of the numbers, which I thought was a really clever way to sort of keep the poem sort of going down the page and to actually keep it sort of centered, if you will. And so Pat, as you rightly say, is very, very good at writing the poems that are sort of heart-wrenchingly, you know, horrible, and the end of it was sort of classic sort of Hatter, you know, that sort of, you know, if you could put it on a stone, you know, this is what Hatter writes, that would be that last stanza, because he's very, very good at channeling the fears and the pain and the troubles that we have in life and putting them into a written form. So a sort of return to form, Hatter.
Yeah, when I first started writing, it was in the 80s. I think it was my third piece that I ever wrote was called My Greatest of Fears. And it is,
yeah.
My greatest of fears is dying alone. Just don't want to die alone, you know.
Yeah, so no, absolutely.
And I still have that original somewhere.
Yeah, but it worked very, very well. Because I think it was honest. That's why it works so well.
Thank you.
Okay, Carmine.
Hello, Linda.
Hello. Am I on mute?
Yeah.
Hello.
No, we got you. Carmine, what did you think?
He did a wonderful job. That's a sad song. It seems like a love would only have a heart cannot live long. And his poem is very reminiscent of really reality, because when someone walks out of someone's life and he or she never returns, then there's the heartache, and the heartache never goes away, but the remembrance stays, and in doing so, it even becomes more despondent. And as he says, my greatest fear is dying alone. That's the sad part, because we weren't created to be alone, and so he has reality. But the reality is filled with pain. And those types of poems are well remembered and well liked, because there's so much of it in this world. There's infidelity and so many other things that destroys the love. And so we don't know why the person left, but he then becomes like the next thing best to nothing, and because without her, he feels like he's nothing. It's really very penetrating song, and it could be really turned into a wonderful musical piece. Especially lyrics like that or poetry like that can be put even into musical, and that right there is a talent in itself. He really did a wonderful job. Good credit.
Thank you, Carmen.
Beautiful comment. Okay. I said we would do LG Mace next, so I will wait for everybody to get that link. Let me know. Carmine, you got that link for LG Mace?
Yes, laughter is contagious.
You got it. Everybody else got it? Okay, this is a needs reader, so I'll read this one. Laughter is contagious by LG Mace. Laughter is contagious. If humor tickles your funny bone, it spreads like a case of silly measles disease. Laughter is simply outrageous. When one starts, then suddenly you find you've got company. You're not laughing alone. Laughter out of control will bring you to your tee-hee-hee knees. In poem. And this is a sweet little poem that I think she really put a lot of heart into, because she's totally correct. When you start laughing in a group of people, sooner or later, you're going to have one or more people start laughing with you. And that's the greatest thing about laughter. And this is a cute little brevity, LG. Also my initials, by the way, LG. It's funny how you can put so much into such a small poem, but I hear it takes a master to do so. So my favorite part is, laughter is simply outrageous. When one starts, then suddenly you find you've got company. Ain't that it so true? Thank you for this fun little piece, LG, and thanks for participating in my show tonight. It's very cool. Let me get you some comments. Carmine.
You know, this, he is so true. He's rap. I've experienced that many times. Like I said, the brevity itself is excellent and true. I love the simile where he says that the laughter spreads like a silly measles disease. You see the moods changing. You see how the entire room is affected by the entire eruption or explosion of laughter. And that's all it has to do with maybe just a look, maybe somebody blowing some gas or something. You never know. Especially when it's out of control, then, as it mentions over here, it takes you right to your knees. And we've had some situations where we did not drink, or we weren't drunk or anything, but we were drunk with laughter. And that's what keeps you young. Tell me, what keeps you young? It's laughter. It's being calm and laughing things that, you know, should be laughed away. If you keep the pain and you keep all the anxieties, you get into trouble. I love that poem. That's true, and so it is contagious. I love it.
Right on. Hatter.
Yeah, the laughter, the magical thing about laughter is that it gives you a longer life. You will live longer laughing than you will not.
Yes, it does. You're right.
And that's, yeah, so there is a contagious to it. It's called the giggles, man. I mean, it's been a while, but when you got the giggles in the wrong time, wrong place, in church.
Right. Good comment, Hatter. And AP, is AP still with us, or did he have to go?
I'm back. Yep. So
right,
I dropped, but I'm back.
That didn't take long.
I agree with Hatter. I think there's something quite magical about laughter and humor. I love it, for example, and it doesn't happen very often. But I treasure them when they happen, because it's such a joy to be able to share sort of humorous things with people. And I have so much respect for people who write humor all the time, because it just takes a real sense of timing and purpose. And I've never been able really to master it in the way I'd love to. So just a lot of respect for people who write humor and to share humor and make the world a better place.
Yeah, that's why if right brain worked that way. If your abs.
Yeah.
His brain worked that way.
Yeah, and like they say, it takes every muscle in your face to frown, but only 13 to smile.
That's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Drink.
Yeah, so drink. Let's get smiling. Let's get smiling. So now, why don't we do, I have Poetas up there, because I forgot that we owed him one.
Okay. And do we need a reader for that one, Linda?
Yes. Would you like
to
read that?
Do you want me to read that one?
AP?
Yeah.
Oh, it looks like your art. Beautiful.
See.
You could, I could tell an AP painting.
Can you?
Yeah, that's one of yours, right? It's like a Van Gogh. He has certain brush strokes that he does in every painting, even though they might be totally out of the Starry Night structure.
Yes.
You can see he does one of water lilies like Monet, but he's got those Van Gogh brush strokes in him. So you can tell that it's not a Monet, but actually a Van Gogh.
You're absolutely right, Linda. That is one of my paintings. So that was
right on.
That was an early competition one. So that was actually not a that was actually done on the iPad. It was done with my finger on the iPad, not with a brush. So there you go. So this is Before It's Too Late by Poeta de Cabra, to my artwork, so well picked up, Linda. And it goes a little bit like this. What is wrong with the world? Why all the stupidity? Look at Putin and his soldiers, too much hostility. Mexican cartels, drug dealers, everywhere there's corruption. Even Mother Nature is in turmoil, causing volcanic eruption. Iranian and Russian leaders like to show their dominance, so hostile and bitter they are vindictive, forever malevolent. Cyclones, tsunamis, bushfires, volcanoes and more. More than enough trouble in the world, surely we don't need the war. Lightning with thunder and winds blowing at gale force. Have we upset Mother Nature, or is she running her course? Flood, droughts and famine, the hole in the ozone layer. Every year many disasters with man, the major player. War just kills innocent people, not to mention animals and plants. Why can't we just settle, give peace and Mother Nature a chance? Some foes, the only way peace will come is within divine intervention. For Mother Nature's disasters, I doubt they were her intentions. Keep treating her like this and we'll decide our own fate. Let's pull together and do something now before it's too late. End poem.
Well, I don't even know where to begin with this one. It was so awesome. I mean, he tells it like it is in this poem. In an honest, heartfelt way. The imagery was full of truth and alarming syntax that brings life to the world of hate. My favorite part, you know, I think war just kills innocent people, not to mention animals and plants. Why can't we just settle, give peace, and Mother Nature a chance? I really like that, but I like the next one too. Suppose only way peace will come is with divine intervention. As for Mother Nature's disasters, I doubt they were her intentions. Beautifully, beautifully written with just a lot of heart and soul. And I just love this poem. When I read it, it came in a little late, so I just kind of snuck it in before showtime that I found it. And I am so grateful that I had a chance to read this, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful piece. Thank you, Poeta, for coming, sending this piece tonight and supporting my show. I really appreciate it. Let me get you some. AP, what did you think?
This poem was in a competition of mine, obviously. Linda, I think the great thing about this poem was, as you said, it sort of stepped back, you know, the world that we live in and how there's a series of things that are just sort of strange about it, and we've come to accept them. And I just liked that he just steps back from it all and says, well, look, you know, what are we really doing? And that's, you know, what poetry should be about.
Yeah. Yeah, and it tells what a sensitive human being he is as well. I mean, it takes a sensitive person to write something like this. And so that's another side of Poeta that that I get to see tonight, which, you know, I think is very cool. So thank you, Poeta.
Yeah.
You are a sensitive human being, and I like that. Hatter.
Yeah, he's just reminding us that we're all doomed. Doomed. Coming for us. No,
well, we're doomed if we don't wake up.
That's
well,
true. Well,
I think we're going to be. I don't think it's going to get to that. I think we're going to be taken out by something we don't have any control over. Just boom! One swift kick, we're gone. No, no,
yeah,
resistance.
That could
no
be
history.
God.
Nobody will know. Mm-hmm. Nobody
will. You never know.
Call it what you will. Call it what you will.
Right. Beautifully said. Carmine.
Everything that our dear friends have spoken is absolutely true. As far as the work is concerned, I believe it's meditative, because we do have to meditate on where we are and where we're going. And as far as the world is concerned, I'm quite sure that we can all agree it's not going into the place we want it to go. In fact, if we don't do anything sooner, it'll be too late. It's the same thing as we were mentioning about the heat and not changing, and wherever we live, we're having tribulation to the point where no one knows what's happening. And so when you know, the poet, as he has stated, is something that, you know, is the reality. And the reality is strong. The reality is intense. Where do you find your peace? Sometimes I find my peace in a little corner where I do some reading. I find my peace maybe in the woods, or maybe I'll find my peace in the lake or fishing someplace. But peace is not something that lasts, because you're surrounded too much with the terror and the violence. So what he's telling us here is better wake up, or otherwise it'll be too late. And if that isn't something to think about, I don't know. He's got it. He did it. He got it.
Right. Right. Yeah, this was just too sweet. I really appreciated this piece. Okay. Let's see. Who's next? I guess we could do... let's see. Let me cross this off. Bravo for that, by the way. I guess we could do Pee-wee's next. He's got a SoundCloud. You want to grab that, AP?
I can do that for you, Linda. Just one thing. I'm in there now. And the water... Oh, no, I was about to grab yours, Carmine. There you go, because Pee-wee got it for you, you see. So
oh, yeah.
I was about to grab yours, but I'm not now. I'm back at it. Fear not. And it is up there now, Linda.
Okay. Let me get back to the page. Yeah, and I had Carmine to go after Titus, so we'll do Carmine's next.
Cool.
Hey, thank you, my
and
dear.
Let me get it back over to the studio. Come on, there we go. And here we go.
Dichotomy to ascendancy seems to me a duality. The suitcase of my mind's a shimmering murder scene, tempted into forging fires and fickle-fingered fate, breach the hold in the mast and the rudder to sea. Razor blade Tuesdays are drawn on the mirror. Messiah's lost as darkened days draw near. clouded, hazy days of castles and some moats. Rosary and hope lost at sea in a trireme afloat. Caged within a parchment page and entombed through a ringer of binding broken, inflamed, and bruised. Visions of indecision and superficial wisdoms need a vocabulary wing to fly out of this prison. Martyrdom grifted right from the backs of the gifted. Elliptical orbits painted in eight while sand shifted. Too sore, keep a score anymore, so what's in store? This world you live in, life you lead to hold. Walking sideways on talking sidewalks, I've thought. Hose it down, drown in bleach, see what you got. Elixirs, medicines, and grains helping on the pain. But sensation just wrong, necessary to wake the brain.
Awesome stuff, Pee-wee. You really nailed the imagery. It was so eerie and dark, and I really love the verse, verse 2. Razor blade Tuesdays are drawn on the mirror. Messiah is lost as darkened days draw nearer. Clouded hazy days of castles and some moats. Rosary and hope lost at sea and tiring afloat. And martyrdom gifted right from the backs of the gifted. Elliptical orbits painted on eight while sand shifted. Too sore keeps a score anymore, so what's in store? This whole world you live in, life you lead's a whore. I really had a hard time choosing between the two, but they're both are so awesomely written and rhymed. I mean, the rhyming in this is artful, and you so have a way of conveying your thoughts through a kaleidoscope of emotion and then weaving them together to form beautiful tapestries of words. Really great job, Pee-wee, and the heartfelt way you read your words with so much emotion. And you always pick out the greatest backup music, too. It just brings out the life of your work. Thank you, my darling, for being here tonight and sending this piece over, and always for supporting my show. I thank you tremendously for that. Let me get you some more comments. Carmine.
Well, first of all, I find that the Drown in Bleach, as far as the title is concerned, is a tremendous book. It could be one of definitely revenge. Someone, to me, feels like he's caged and he needs more than words to be free of this prison. He is trying, to me, to keep sore. Score about the world, but he's too weak, and the pain is there as far as life is concerned. It tells about that's what we lead. We lead a life of pain. He needs medicine to ease the pain, but it's dark. It's very vivid. It's got a tremendous amount of imaginary emotion in there. And to me now, he says that it feels like evil is the thing that brings pain, and that we need to avoid it by being wise of the decisions we make. Now, from what I can see is that bleach cleans, drown on bleach to clean it, but if you drink it, it's going to kill you. And so what that contrast there and the reality is, like you just said, very strong. But it is bleak and it's dark. But sometimes darkness is needed in order to see the light.
Right, right. Good comment. Hatter.
Yeah, I think I got, I agree with you, Carmine. I think, what we're trying to say, we don't understand sadness. We don't. Think of the Middle Ages, the Dark Ages, even the Wild West. How lucky you were to even get to your teens. So death, family members are dying all the time. I mean, sadness, and there's nothing you could do, and the loneliness and the isolation you could be in. The winters, where you're just in a cabin fever. Now, that's mentally strong people. I don't think we are near what some of the poets in the past are able to write from. I don't know. I think we have it pretty damn easy, and we can only guess, and we can maybe reach out and try to touch, imitate. But I don't think we know sadness like earlier generations.
Right. Very cool. AP.
Yeah. I should say for the record, too, Kevin has changed over to the new auto rank system, so worth going and having a look to see that what that all means for your poems, like it or not. In terms of this poem, though, I thought Peewee did a great job gathering words together into a to give a picture, to paint a picture of a sort of bleakness, and he did it very, very cleverly with the backing track, and I loved how he waited for the backing track to come in and timed that to perfection. So I love the timing, and I just love the sort of wall of words.
Yeah, the walking sidewalks, sideways on sidewalks. That's good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, Deb, did you get to hear any of Pee-wee's?
I didn't, actually. I'm sorry. I was tied up with an unpleasant conversation. Sorry.
I'm very sorry you had to go through that. Are you in a rush for time?
I have about 20 minutes.
Okay, we had sold Carmine. He can go next, and then you. Okay.
Excuse me?
Okay. My dear, it's up to you. I could read mine after her. It's fine.
No. Go ahead, Carmine. I'd like to hear you read.
Okay. The title of the work is called Water, and it is
Okay, wait. We need to get your link, Carmine.
Water, compared to Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Carmine,
an
we need to get your link.
On a hot tin roof, slipping, sliding on a window pane, trickling moist to roots below of corn, tomato, sugar cane, refreshing flowers of rainbow bloom in meadow, valley, plain, painting with a master's touch, with rush of gentle rain, fountain snow in glowing white, melt in rippling stride, flowing down in waterfalls a thousand feet in depth. Twisting, carving riverbeds, tumbling endlessly into lake, lagoon, reservoir, home, kiss the sea. Until the winds bellowing die, churns your waves mountains high, swallowing in its crushing path, killing all but the devil's breath. Water everywhere. Your personality, life-giving, refreshing, kind, but deadly, cruel as your raging sea. And yet, without you, where will you be?
Very, very true, Carmine. And this was just this is a charming, well-rhymed piece from you. The imagery in this is so strong, and with great descriptive eloquence by my favorite part is refreshing flowers of rainbows bloom in meadow, valley, plain, painting with a master's touch, your brush of gentle rain. And Carmine, you are the master who paints with words, creating beautiful masterpieces and to enthrall and excite the reader. You are a charm, dear Carmine, and I love to hear your work. Thank you for coming, darling. It's always a pleasure to have you support my show, and just to have you hang out is a big thrill to me. So thank you, Carmine. Let me get you some more comments. AP.
Yeah, it's a fun poem. I really like the where we start with the sort of trickling of the rain and it being gentle and then to the snow and then to the, of course, the ferocity that you get with water and it being cruel and deadly and angry. And I just love the contrast. I think they're beautifully done.
Right on. I'm Deb.
You know, for starters, I really, really thought the way you read it was cool. You had a theatrical way with your voice. I think that really added to it. And I like how it went from the refreshingness of it at the beginning where it's a gentle rain and then we go into mountain snow that's rippling and you have all these calm words tumbling endlessly, and then all of a sudden, the winds are bellowing, die, and the waves are churning, and it's swallowing, and it's crushing, and it was just like, holy cow! And the coolest thing is that nature can turn on a dime like that. So I think you captured it quite well. Great read and write.
Right on, Deb. That was a good comment. Hatter.
Yeah, I agree. Agree with everybody. He's great at painting the picture in your head. It was complete. I liked it. Thank you, Caroline.
Cool. And AP.
Oh, I commented, Linda.
Oh, did you? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't check you off. Okay, great. Let's see. I think it's Deb's turn.
Deb's turn.
Can you grab Deb's?
I will. I will. I will. I will. Just give me one.
Near the
and
bomb.
I will be with you. Is it near the bottom? Yeah, got it. Got it. Got it. Got it. So it is on the board now, Linda.
There we go. Oop. Perfect.
Thanks, AP. Okay.
You got it, Carmine?
What's the title, dear?
Final Flight for Tailor-Made Wings Over the Marsh.
Okay. I don't think I have it here, dear. But that's okay. You can read it. I'll check it out.
Are you sure you want to refresh?
Yeah, on the topic.
What's it called again?
Final Fittings for Tailor-Made Wings Over the Marsh. Great title, by the way, Deb.
Thanks.
Could it be any longer?
It's not on my screen. But I can read it. I mean, you speak it and it comes over on my side that I can read it. So I can
oh, okay.
Follow you.
Right, right, right. All right, Deb, anytime you're ready, sweetheart.
Okay, dear. I grabbed one that was a little bit of dry humor, try and lighten my mood a little. Anyway, it's called Final Fittings for Tailor-Made Wings Over the Marsh. And here we go. The sunlight dwindles as it sets. Now the moon rises, climbing high. Then it hangs over the mountains as turquoise marks a twilight sky. Flight school graduates line up now in final fitting for bespoken wings. They hover over the marshy flow with no net tied in knotted strings. Standing on the edge of the cliffs, knees knocking, rattling, then they go. And the tailor jots on his clipboard, noting the modifications he'll sew. All are tasked to loop, spiral, then fly by the moon's neon spearmint glow. But those that crash land are dinner for the drooling gators swimming below. And
very good, Deb. That was excellent. The whole thing is so, it starts out so sweet and this is how it is and beautiful with the turquoise marks of twilight sky, and then it kind of graduates. But your ending is just so precious. I love it. I love it. I don't even know what my favorite part is. Of course, the ending. But this is just a really cool poem, and you do humor well. This is it's very cute. Thank you for sharing it, Deb.
Thank you, Linda.
You're very welcome. AP, what did you think?
I thought it was funny. I really did. I thought it was a great piece of writing, and I thought it was I got a kick out of it. So, no, great choice there.
Thank you very much.
Cool. And Hatter.
Yeah, that's the picture there that you wrote too. That was the first day of swimming class when you were a little kid. Learn how to swim. Maybe the first time you got to go out on a diving board. That's what it's like. Except for the gators. That was a good... That was a good ending. That was funny.
Thank goodness there were no gators.
Right on, Hatter.
Thank you, Hatter.
Carmine.
Well, you know what? I tell you what. That is a reality because we live in Florida. We do have our gators, you know. And there was a tree. There was a tree that was just, well, angled far into the lake, and some young fellas had a rope, okay? And they had a rope, and then they'd get on the land, and they'd just swing and swing, and then bazooka, they would be into the lake. Well, by golly, they were having a lot of fun in their swimsuits and what have you, and laughing and so forth. And when I was out on my dock, Lordy mercy, I saw one of these gators coming up the canal, and I just screamed at those boys, saying, "Get out of here! Get out of here!" And they didn't even hear me. Well, I'll tell you, I had to run over. And I pointed, and I pointed, and when they saw that, wow, they were out like, I mean, you know, firecrackers. Anyway, her story is funny, but it's also real. And isn't it ironic that I happen to be in a situation where that happens? Bless her heart. She had it right on, like you say.
Thank you, Carmine.
Right on. Okay. Now, I see that me and AP tried to slam ours up there at the same time. So I'll be a gentleman, AP, and I will let you go, and then I'll go after you.
Well, I was going to do a party political advertisement first, Linda, and this is particularly for Deb. So this is two stanzas I just put together. And it goes a bit like this.
Okay.
Once there was a way that gave... Here we go. Once there was a way that gave one the maximum score, but like all things left way, must be time to change core. Spiral and spearmint glow, the gators are at every frame. He really just does not know how his tinkering is a pain. End party political comment. I'm now going to go to my piece.
Very funny, AP.
This is of a bear. Why not? So there is not much but bits of older fur has been around for over 50 bear years, but a line for a smile while silent is his black nose. He still has on a jumper made by my great-grandmother. Each stitch is rendered with care to fit, so protecting his body and his paws and feet are as new. But not his round face. Here find worn down as he's been so very cuddled, hugged and loved through all sorts of times. Some wear tears, others smiles, all left within the fur. In pomp.
Oh, wow. AP, that is just too cool. I have my Velvy and he's all getting worn down too. His nose has fallen off and one eye is kind of like falling out. And I still love him, and I sleep with him every night. He props my shoulder up and makes it comfortable for me to sleep. And I get it, you know. Having something like that is so special, especially since your grandmother took such a big part in stitching it. And
yep.
That's just, like, awesome. I mean, I just got sent my mother's teddy bear and a photograph of her when she was two holding the teddy bear. Now she's passed now 7 years ago. She would have been 88, I think, or maybe a little older, but that's how old that teddy bear is. And you can't handle it because the fabric is so,
it's so fine. And
just so see-through and fine. That I have it in a plastic Ziploc, but I really should get it encased in something. But I get it. You know, this is a beautiful poem that shows your love for something that's not alive. It's, you know, it's a teddy bear, and that's cool. And I loved your poem, AP. Let me get you some more comments. Deb.
You know, I'm actually blown away. For one, of course, the shape of the little bear there is really cute. But because, like, if you noticed when, quite often when AP shares his paintings on the chat wall, depending on the angle he takes the picture of to share it with us, that bear is always standing right there, like, in the room with him on the shelf. And it showed up in a lot of the pictures.
Aww.
And I know a little bit of the backstory, so I know that it's a very special bear. But in all that, now I even think it's more special, and I realize why he was so delighted to get it back, because I never realized that it was something that was handmade by his grandma there. So that's incredible. What a priceless heirloom. Great share.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Wow. Hatter.
Yes, little Banjo Billy Bear. Yeah. I forgot what I was going to say. What part? I forgot what I was going to say. Sorry.
That's okay. I do that all the time.
Hatter, didn't you see the bear in person?
It would be my teddy bear, huh? Yes.
Didn't you see AP's bear on his shelf when you were there?
I'm trying to remember. I must have, because I put those pictures that I left on that shelf there.
Yeah.
I think I did. And the steam car's on the spot. Yeah.
It
follows him around.
How cute. We got you now, AP. We know.
When I have a story in
it's
the air, for God's sake, and that's a beautiful poem. That's great.
Carmine, did you want to comments?
It's, you know, that's one thing that's so beautiful about poetry, because it can express every avenue, every little nook, every little shadow, every little leaf that falls, everything that that moves or does not move. And it also talks about the reminiscing of things still there. Now, my wife, when she was 18 years old, and I just had known her, and that was almost 65 years ago, got the mumps. And Lord have mercy, that just broke my heart. So I went into this store, and they had such beautiful little, you know, the stuffed animals. So I got her a lion, a little lion. And when it was so beautiful, and I shared it with her, and I said to her, "Dear, you have to be strong and brave like this lion." And I said, "You have to get better for me." And by golly, she hugged it. And I called it Gary Mumps. Gary Mumps, because she had the mumps. Well, at 65 years, then she still has Gary Mumps, and it's part of the family. Now, you talk about reality, there it is. The same thing with his little teddy bear is the same thing with Gary Mumps.
There you go. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Cool. Right on, Carmine. That's a good story.
It's
okay,
cool.
Now after all this sweetness.
Like he says, absolutely cool. I love being on your show, my dear, because you know what? It's got color, it's got feeling, it's got reminiscing, it's got memories, memoirs, it's got everything that touches life. And by golly, you can't get any better than that.
And jokes.
Right
what
on.
Was the frog's job?
Well, good.
Oh, yeah, sometimes the jokes are, you know, sometimes good, sometimes, okay.
right. Well, after all this sweetness and love, I'm going to do something disgusting and dark. I should have brought something else, but...
Well,
but this is my dark side.
Something.
This is my dark side. It's called Silent Scream.
Well, let's put it up. Hold on, bear with me. I've got to put it up on the board first.
It should be above
so,
you.
Yes, got it. Yeah, got it. Bear with me.
Everybody got it?
I've got it on the board now. Linda?
Okay, I want to thank Jeff Tuttle. Ian Anderson for lending me the title of his song Aqualung for this. But anyway, it's called Silent Screams by Liquid Damage. Suddenly, the darkness grew all around the edges of my asylum, pulsating to the rhythm of Aqualung. And the voices sang out, "You poor old sot, you see, it's only me." That's what they sung. And when I looked around, I realized the darkness was not a stranger, but came to me in my mother's womb and gave me the finger. I've come a long way as darkness stands before me, drowning in decibels of silent screams. I'm holding on with daunting resentment, pushing darkness down into my dreams. And then the darkness grew once more around my mouth, so all I could do was hum the words. And the words cried out, the darkness then sounded off a tormenting bellow of laughter. "Cat, got your tongue?" it said. I replied, then hummed, "I wish you were dead." And the preacher said, "Cry out for the Lord. He tells me redemption is near. Just pray and you shall receive it, even though darkness holds on to your fears." The darkness holds strong condemnation for all that the preacher might say. If you don't bow to its power, it won't matter how much you pray. Now I am in oblivion as darkness tries to unravel the edges of my spent life with a diamond hat pin. I shiver for a moment, wondering if it's doing me a favor are trying to shove this life down my throat. Then silence screamed and hurt my ears. I laughed out loud behind the tears. Then I was brave, though cursed with fear. I love today, but hate the years. End poem.
I can say, wow. I can say, wow, my dear. It's, as you can see, many sides of you in behalf of your creativity, which is full of, can I say, like a roller coaster. The joyful ones, the happy ones, the deep ones, like the sounding screams. This to me now, this is what I received from your wonderful talent, that darkness is the imperfection that we all possess. The sin of us is in control of us by the temptations and ready to destroy us at all times. Does it laugh at us when we succumb to its torment, temptations? Does redemption come from prayers? And yet darkness still holds us in its power. I don't know. So the silent screams that you talk here are loud, but they're hurtful. And yet then there's laughter. Now, that's the contrast. There's the thing that's behind the tears. You said a mocking of the darkness that held you captive for all those years. Well, you said you cursed that time, but today, the life that you live, you love. There's so much sensitivity and depthness in that work. It's really penetrating, my dear. And to me, it's spiritually inspiring, because that's life. It's very powerful. And I believe this is one of the best nights I've heard you write.
Wow.
I've seen you write, my dear. So
thank you.
Some of this whole art. And that's very impressive. So just keep on going, my dear.
Thank you, Carmine. Wow. AP, what did you think?
Well, it's different, right, for you, Linda, because it is quite a dark sort of swirling rite, I'd call it, and a rite that sort of, I hear you speak it, and I'm sort of like, wow, is that you? You know, which is, and for me, that's a really good thing, because I think I love it when people try things out of genre and out of style, and you can certainly do it because you've got the words and the ways and the means to go about it. And so I just encourage you to keep on trying different things. And I just thought it was a really good poem.
Well, thank you, AP. Wow. That was very cool. I'm Hatter.
Say Hatter?
Yep. Yep.
Oh, okay. I wasn't prepared for dark. I don't know why. It hit me sort of hard after the last few poems. I'm meds are getting to me. I'm sorry. I forgot what I was going to say.
It's okay.
Yeah,
Deb.
Yeah. Well,
Deb
for one thing, I agree. I'm not used to when you break out into reading. I'm used to the rhyme and flow and rhythmic poem, and not that you didn't have your rhyme and stuff. Don't get me wrong, there's several spots in there, but like you took it in a direction I wasn't expecting, and then to do stuff like that mumbled excuse me, that mumbled hum thing you did added to like the creepiness of it, and I thought, wow, where are we going here? And it was just like, I don't know, there was something about that dabble of darkness. It was very, very cool. And I think it was really cool also how you gave the nod to Jethro Tull at the end there, Silent Street. This is really, really cool. And like pulsating to the rhythm of Aqualung, which is now, of course, playing in my head. So, yeah, very, very different, but very awesome. Oh, and you know what? One more thing. When you were done, I didn't hear you spitting out any moral to the story this time. Just saying.
Just saying. Very good, Deb. Thank you. Thank you all. That
my pleasure.
Sweet.
And I'm out of here. Love and respect, everyone.
All right. Thanks, love and respect, Deb. Oh, I didn't think that would get that kind of reception, but I've been working on it for a while. So thank you, guys. And let's see, I put somebody on the board. Oh, Garden Delight, let me welcome Sue to the studio. Hi, Sue.
Hello. Greetings.
How are you?
I am good.
I'm so glad
my
you
dad
make
got.
It.
Yeah, I can't get off my mind. 8 hours today with my father, putting him in hospice care.
Oh my goodness!
It's been a long day, but I didn't want to let you down.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. We've got you up next, so you can read and run. But I'm so glad that you could make it tonight. I was ready for you.
Wow. Yes, I can
good
tell.
Good deal. Yeah. Right on. Let me see. Yeah, your link's on the board. If everybody wants to grab it, it's called Perhaps to Wake.
Yep. Is it? I'm just right. Yes, we got it. Yes.
Right on. Carmine, you got it?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sue, anytime you're ready, darling.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, this is a bit of an abstract in response to an abstract prompt. So the title is Perhaps to Wake. In a hushed world, my held breath begged for reprieve, eyes darting in heavily misted daydreams. Something has this bayou on edge. Allowing myself to move seems a violation of its guarded condition. Unadorned is a Spartan gnarled tree, not disturbed by a bird's shriek of panic. The cypress now covered in beckoning shadows, sinister under the rising parchment moonbeams. Thickly flapping wings precede sounds of pursuit. Running from my dream, brushing misty remnants from my face, pausing, wary like a doe entering her first meadow, I watch the bayou fade away. There are only we two and the ocean between. And that's the end.
Well, this is a gorgeous piece of work, Sue. It's enchanting, and its imagery is deep-seated metaphor makes this a tight piece. I love the way you use the bayou as your sleep place. The storyline is so beautiful, and your narrative is right on the button. My favorite part is running from my dream, brushing misty remnants from my face, pausing, weary like a doe entering her first meadow. Such beautiful words. You have painted a true masterpiece, my darling. Thank you, my friend, for joining us tonight. I truly appreciate your time and art, and I know that your time is very special to you, and I'm glad that you chose to spend a little bit of it with us. It makes my show a special place. Thank you, Sue. Let me get you
Thank
some
you.
More Those comments.
Wonderful words.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah,
Carmine, what did you think?
Well, as Garden Delight, I must say it is very delightful. To me, it talks about a journey. It talks about an awakening of life, where the bayou fades, and then mentions just the two of us with the ocean between. There's excellent metaphors in this. It's to me, there's certain parts that are sad, but very introspective in behalf of the life that she's living with. Very, very eloquently constructed, and it gives you food for thought in respect to, especially the separating where the bayou fades and just the two of you. And as far as the sea is concerned, it's far out and it's unknown, and you don't know what the outcome will be, because sometimes it can be very cool. So it says perhaps to awake. Yes. What is the wake? Is that death? Or is it life? See, that's what I got out of it. But very eloquent, my dear. Very eloquent.
Thank you.
Right on. I think AP, are you still there?
I am, yes.
I think AP might have
yes.
been. Oh, there you go. What did you think of Sue's lovely poem?
Oh, no, it's beautiful. Lovely, lovely, lovely use of words and words used in ways that are unusual. The use of Spartan, the use of parchment, even pausing with the comma. I just like the construction of the poem. I like the words used, and Joe's a brilliant poet, Kim James, and you've done a wonderful job of reflecting on her piece.
Right on. Before we get any more comments, let me welcome Sweet Pea to the studio. Hi, Sweet.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I'm glad you could make it.
Yeah, I'm all up here in the mountains tonight, this weekend. Up hanging up towards the Aspen and Vale,
ooh,
hanging up here. Yeah, so I
must
got up
be
here
nice.
Just in time. Yeah, so I'm up here for a dog event.
And you
event
chose to
and,
spend some time with us.
Yes,
that's so
of course
cool.
I did.
I love it. Let me hello, 580. Who's calling, please?
Hi, it's Kara. It's Kara.
Oh, hello. Glad you could make it. Did you get to, either of you get to hear the last poem, who was Sue's?
I did not.
Garden Delight's poem? Okay. Let me go on and get some more comments for her. This is Hatter dropped. Uh-oh. And Deb is dropped. So we'll do that. So
let's
I guess
see.
We're ready.
I'm juggling.
Okay.
Juggling electronics here. I thought maybe I could go back and read it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Did you have a link for it?
Do you mind if I drop my poem?
You
yeah,
said
go
it
ahead.
Was Garden Delight.
Hey, Chaos, how are you? Because I do not know how long I will have connection where I am at.
Oh, okay. Okay, Chaos. Or was that Sweet?
No, that's Sweet.
Yeah.
Chaos has sweet. A much better voice than I do.
Okay, well, we can get you up, Sweet.
Okay. Chaos has that sexy drawl. All right, I put mine on the board. And this is called
Back
to
You.
Got it? Can you see it, Linda?
Okay, hang on. Sweet. Back sweat backseat memories. Backseat memories.
Yeah, backseat memories.
I gotcha.
Okay. Kashmir lies whisper softly at a 5 o'clock shadows. A tangerine sunset fades into amber moonbeam skies. The dance hall is full of half-truths, waltzing with false memories, while wallflowers dreams stand alone the back wall. Warped mahogany tables dressed in antiquated yellow tablecloths meet haggard men for the evening with burning throat desires. Their eyes watch the sweat beads glide down amber bottles with whiskeys poured and moonshine sipped, a hot jazz note is played. The whiskey-soaked passion sways the shy play. Bonfire beauties burned embers to flames, and silver trumpets continue to blow tones of wanting as poker chips and tempers grew hotter than New Orleans night. Cigar smoke and cigarette ash assault wooden decor as a crowd sways to a melodic moonlight seduction, and silver trumpets slide sultry sexual salutations. As drunk hands for gondola regrets in a vintage backseat history. End poem.
Well, you have such a way of telling a story. It's just so descriptive. And your descriptions are just so eloquent and into the story.
Thank you.
I'm not even sure. I mean, this is really a cool piece. It made me have visions of being in this a place where they do the dance with the girls come in and the guys come in and they pick a girl and then they dance. That's what my mind was thinking about. And then where you say with whiskey poured and moonshine sipped, a hot jazz note is played. Just really, really cool. I'm not sure. I think this is my favorite part. The whiskey-soaked passion sways the shy to play. Bonfire beauties burned embers to flames. And silver trumpets continue to blow tones of warning, of wanting, as poker chips and tempers grew hotter than a New Orleans night. That is just so well said, hotter than a New Orleans night. I mean, that is just precious, because as we all know, it gets hot in New Orleans, especially at night. And I just love your metaphors and stuff in here, just really precious. I liked it. Let me get you some more comments. Carmine.
Well, I want to tell you something. That poem right there is so eloquently picturesque in behalf of the atmosphere, the mood, the characters, the situations that prevail in behalf of the liquor, the dancing, the guys that were the wallflowers, the sound of the trumpets bellowing. You hear the trombones and the moaning of the blues as far as the piano is concerned, and the boom boom of the drums. Now I say this in wholehearted honesty, because I was there. I played in those places. The smoke was so thick, it
right
was
on.
Like in a wild, dark cloud. However, the alibis that were there and everything that was supposed to be love was not love, but something else, rocked that place. And they stayed until maybe 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and then they just rolled out of there. And when they rolled out, wherever they went was a mystery. However, that poem right there is right on, perfect. I mean, I was when she read it and I heard it, I was there, and I relived it, and the memory will never go away. So, darling, you're a master artist when it comes to that one. Very commendable.
Isn't she?
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I told you, I lived it. So when if I live it and I could live it again with her words, well, you tell me. That's honesty there, girl. That is honesty.
Thank you. Yeah.
And beautiful.
Thank you very
you're
much.
You're so sweet.
You're very kind. Thank you.
Yep.
You're very kind.
Let's see, did Hatter come back? Hatter, are you there?
Am I unmuted?
Yeah, you're unmuted. Did you get to hear Sweet's poem?
No, I wasn't able to. I didn't hear
it. Oh, okay. Wendell. AP dropped. Or AP, are you there? No.
Looks like Sweet Chaos. Chaos?
Hi, Kay. Hi, Hatter.
Hi.
Here.
Cool, cool, cool.
Okay, did you brought a piece, Chaos, you said?
Yeah. Oh, I was wanting to agree with the guy who was just commenting because, you know, I lived in New Orleans for several years, and this is dead on in the descriptions. Cause, you know, I loved it there. Spent a lot of time in little hole in the wall places too, and
right on.
Because I love that poem. Now I did bring something with me, but now I can't put a link up because I'm kind of in between accounts right now. In this particular poem,
well,
I'm wanting on a new account. And that account isn't a member of ATOB yet. And so
okay.
I can't put a link up. But
well,
if that doesn't bother you,
Carmine will get the words when you read it, and we'll all just listen along.
Okay.
So why don't you go ahead and go for it?
Will you get the words when you and we'll just listen. What words are they, my dear?
She doesn't have the link, Carmine, so she's just going to read it.
Okay.
I haven't posted it yet.
I can see it on my phone, see? I'm practically deaf, my dear, and I got the most exquisite hearing aids, but I have a machine over here that treats me like an Esquire, and I see everything that comes, you know, through the voice. So what you say, I read and I hear, but I read better than my hearing. That's old age for you, my dear. That's one of the curses, but I love it. Go on, live it till I die.
Okay. All right. It is called The Spark of an Unexpected Storm. Shock, a visual strike, mentally struck, stunned into silence, waiting for the inevitable thunder roll, taken by the voice that follows, unable to look away, the eyes of the storm seem to stay. Or is it the storm that stares into the darkness, flashing an illusion of purple across the clouds, captured, enraptured by the beauty of electricity, dancing in my mind, storm brewing in the imagination, rolling into the realization that nothing remains but static. Nicole.
Wow, that was quite lovely. and electric. I love your storm metaphor. It's beautiful. And the way you wrote about it, the way it moved, and the colors that it brought were very lovely. And I think I can't tell you my favorite part because I don't have it in front of me, and my memory's not that good. But I love the way you read it, too. Your voice gave it a special ambience that was like a storm starting up, like Mother Nature getting ready to unleash her deal, and you nailed that really well. Let me get you some more comments. Hatter.
I knew you were going to call on me. I have the attention span of a cricket tonight. I'm sorry.
That's okay, me too.
I have trouble doing it without seeing it too. So
yeah.
This is why I was unsure
about
it.
Well, I had to take some pain meds earlier. That doesn't help.
My
dear, may I just make a little very brief comment? She has
no. Make
the
comment,
has,
Carmine.
Is that okay?
Yes. Yeah, it's your turn.
Okay. Well. And she has a very elegant way of a description. I mean, when she's talking about the dancing lightning, that right there is very descriptive. I mean, the colors of her poem are really just striking. And I think she's got much talent there. In fact, it mentions about the thunder now. The thunder, the lightning, and all the things that are going on in her mind, you know, can be very confusing. It can be very depressing because thunder and lightning can be extremely dangerous. And then at the end, when she says that everything went static, well, when something goes static, it doesn't had happened anymore. So the thunder and lightning then had overtaken her. And in doing so, to me now, this is my, thoughts. To me, she was overcome by the impact of the thunderstorm. And when you think of a mind that's mentally disturbed, which we have more now than ever, it rolls with the times. There, how many minds are just loaded with thunder and lightning? How many minds are loaded with darkness and with feelings of depression? And only compassion and love can undo it. But there's not enough compassion or love around to do it all. So when you think of that poem, really the depthness of what it has to offer, well, my dear, you have done for me in contemplating it, well done, very impressive. And so I say keep
working. Right on. Yes, indeed.
Thank you.
Sweet.
Yes.
Is Sweet still with us? Yeah.
Yes, I'm here. I love what he just said. I don't have it in front of me, but I did get the darkness, and I got the walking into the storm and the tragedy of it. Obviously, I don't have it in front of me, and I'm hoping that will be on my storm show next week. Because it's stunning. But walking into a storm.
You have a storm show next week?
I do, on Thursday. It's all about storms.
okay. Maybe
so,
I'll have
yeah,
it up by then.
Yeah, that would be great. My Thursday show is all about storms. So I'd love to see that. And But I see the storm as desperation. I see the storm as, you know, a way to seek out the violence, the absolute, you know, storms that we get now, or everybody pays attention to them. You get the warnings, and you get the, you know, seek shelter, and you get all of that. And and that's kind of where I felt it. So I thought it was beautiful chaos, and I definitely want to see it from him.
Are you breaking up, or am I talking over you?
No, I'm probably breaking up. I, like I said, I'm up in the in the air that's very thin.
Because breaking up is hard to do.
No, I just wanted to say about that electric thing.
Breaking it's making it.
I used to take bets in bars that I could do that. And I used to electrify myself with one of those and make a lot of money doing it. I found that people don't like electricity. And all I had to do was click the trigger and set off the spark, and people would come to attention quickly. So that electricity thing and the spark thing and the static electricity, it's...
Are there certain sounds that are identifiable, like the cocking of a shotgun? Everybody knows that sound.
Exactly. All right, listeners. I thought next we would do Jenny, and she's on the board. So has everybody got her? Title is Unsuitable Justice by Jenny the Deep.
Jenny the Deep. I don't see it yet. Oh, yeah. Got it.
And did I?
Unsuitable justice.
She needs a reader. Chaos, would you like to read Jenny the Deep's poem?
Sure. Let me see.
That would be lovely.
Unsuitable justice? Is that correct?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's your waiter's up.
Okay. Unsuitable justice. Reoccurring images has my head spinning, his act so villainous. Still, in death, he is winning. Living fearfully, can't suppress diabolical memories, haunting me while he rests. Spitting on his grave wasn't enough. Numbness I crave from past fingers to work. On a dirty man's greedy hands, chasing laughs. Bad neighborhoods, cheated childhood, intentions weren't good. Lingering shame echoes, sorrowful bellows over predatory fellows. Evil rotting in soil, survivors remain stuck in turmoil. Unfair justice creates pessimists. Grave dancing is justifiable. End poem.
Beautiful. Well read. You were breaking up a little bit, but you read that very well. For your first time reading it, it was great. And wow, Jenny, you really pulled out all the stops on this one. It was fantastically dark and pungent. And the imagery was so vivid and cruel, it really messed up when the pain of one's actions carries on the past the grave. Because somehow spitting on the grave is just not enough. Then, you know, it's like you want to go down and rip them out. I really like the lingering shame echoes, sorrowful bellows over predatory fellows. Fantastic rhyme and excellent flow, my poet friend. Jenny, you are becoming such a fine and sage poet. Keep it up. And thank you for coming here tonight with your piece. I really appreciate the people that send in their stuff to be read. It keeps my show running smoothly. And I really like this piece, Jenny. Let me get some more comments. Hatter, while you're fresh, did you want to comment?
Yeah, did you notice on this piece that it was 80 words only? There was three quatrains.
Maybe it's me breaking up.
Two couplets, one ending line. There was no graphics, no metaphors, no abstract, no adult, no religious, and nothing in common. Very directful, powerful, and different. Very good.
Right.
I'm reading the author's notes. Gets it,
cool.
I wonder if those are the guidelines, or did she define? Did she give us what she had, or did she have to go that way? Oh.
Yeah, I'm breaking up, or you guys are breaking up. I don't know what it is, but I'm not hearing everything.
Oh, am I?
Carmine.
Am I?
Well, I tell you right now, the Unsuitable Justice is an excellent title. There's some raw emotions in this work of the injustice that she was tormented by the villainous acts of someone. And even in death, it seems that he wins. Mm-hmm. The revenge, as far as she's concerned, is spitting on his grave. And also mentioning about the rotting of his evil in that grave. She also mentions in the case that justice is unfair. And in many cases, it does prove fair, but sometimes unfair. So just like everything else, when revenge comes or hurt is too deep, then somebody says, I'm glad he's dead. And she was glad he's dead. And what proved it? Well, she was willing to dance on his grave. She had excellent pattern, excellent structure, was very powerful and visual. And, Jenny, congratulations. You did an excellent job in painting this revengeful picture.
Indeed. Let me see. Sweet Pea. Sweet Drops.
That's just me, you, Carmine.
Hatter.
You and Carmine.
Did you comment already?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it's just the three of us, looks like.
I think my phone, something must be wrong with my phone because you guys are all breaking up real.
Is that better?
Are
you
there,
better?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, we're almost out of showtime. We got tons of stuff left.
Oh,
okay.
Hey, before I lose anybody else, everybody listening and was here is invited to Wednesday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, for Hatter's birthday party.
Hatter's on birthday party.
And bring me your best ever. Well, the best thing you think you've ever written.
Uh-oh.
Stand before me and be judged.
I was given the you need to attend this finger today. Oh, while we're still on, let me thank everybody. AP, Hatter, Carmine, Deb, Sweet Pea, Sue, Garden Delights, Lawrence 67, Heavenly Angel, we didn't get to her, LG Mace, Poeta de Cabra, Titus.
Where are these?
And do the rest now, or should we just save it for, what do you think, Hatter? Just save it for next week?
How many do you have?
I have 1, 2, 3, I think 3 left. These people might want to be here.
Oh, okay.
A couple of those, huh? Because I know one of my friends from Botswana, even, has been talking to me back and forth all week about being on the show. I don't know why she didn't make it. So maybe there was a glitch in the time. I thought I calculated the time difference properly. But she was real excited on being here. What?
That could be here over in the corner just watching. She's paying attention. The first time you get nervous, you want to sort of know what's going on, so you listen to it before you jump in. Maybe that's what she's doing.
Oh.
I don't know. Don't mind me.
I'm not sure. No, I would have. She did a beautiful, beautiful piece and was excited to get feedback on it. So I'm sure that there was just a glitch in our information or something. But there's always next week.
Okay. Well, if we got three.
I think we'll let.
We'll go ahead and pump them out.
Okay. Okay, we did Jenny. We'll save the rest for next week. And tonight, I'd just like to say thank you to all my poets. You make my show what it is. I can't do it without you, so please come back. Hatter, thank you very much for helping out and sticking with me till the end. It's always a pleasure. Carmine, you as well, always stick with me till the end, and I really appreciate that. And I think that's all who's left in the studio right now, right? Let me see.
Take care, my dear.
Yeah.
And we want you to know very humbly that this old guy says we all love you, and you do a fantastic job as a host.
Got a bit of advice.
Thank you, Carmine.
Somebody would say, keep on writing. No, I say, just keep on hosting. Bless your heart.
Bless your heart, Carmine. That really means a lot. So I will, in this episode, I want to say goodnight to all you people out there in Radio Land. Please come back for another episode of Liquid Damage Lounge next Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern. And with that, I'm signing out.